సకాంక్షణ గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి పంచాకల్పతృపాసింధుభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణపరిష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే నమతే సరస్వతి దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రసారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాణి కాశ్య దీక్షితారిణి జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరవభక్తవృంద
హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే
Bhagavad Gita 16, chapter 10, text 30. Among the Daihya demons, I am the devoted Prahalad. Among some viewers, I am dying. Among beasts, I am the lion, and among birds, I am Garuda. So for the past few weeks, we have been going through some examples of the opulences of Krishna. These examples are requested by Arjuna because he wanted to ask for our own sake how great Krishna is. How can we understand the opulence of Krishna? How can we relate to the opulences of Krishna? So Arjuna asked that question for us, and here Krishna is giving us some examples. And that too, he said that I'm going to give you some principal examples. I'm going to give you. So in this way, we are able to ascertain how great Krishna is. When we say Krishna is the most powerful, how powerful Krishna is the greatest, how great Krishna is. So in this example here, Krishna has given a few examples. The reason why we also want to know some of these examples is also twofold. One is that our mind is also very difficult to control. Our mind is actually moving here and there, not focused on Krishna. Very difficult to focus. It is actually moving away from Krishna very easily. It is so difficult to control. Arjuna says it's like controlling, it's worse or it's more difficult than controlling the mind. So the mind has to be engaged. The mind has to be engaged by thinking of things that remind us of Krishna. Of course, following from this, we also from here, when we see the example, we also can then remember Krishna, and we can also remember the pastimes associated with him. But we should always be careful to understand that these opulences, while we read about them, it does not mean, like for example in this verse, he says that among the beasts I am the lion. It does not mean that the lion is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That we do not go and pay obeisances to the lion. He will just snap off your head. No. That point we should understand. That this thinking that the lion would eat then the Supreme Personality of Godhead is an impersonalist kind of a thinking. We should always understand that the quality that the lion exhibits, the quality that he is known as the king of the animals, that he is majestic, he is regal, and he, if you read about the lion and how he, the lion behaves with his family, you realize that he is very, very protective of the family that he has, and at the same time he's so ferocious that whenever he hunts for a prey, the prey actually gets terrified. And the way the lion hunts the prey is so very expert. For one, when preparing for this class, for once I have actually went on the internet and I was searching at Wikipedia and Google just to learn what lion is all about. So in fact, internet can also be used in Krishna service. Wikipedia can be used. Very nice source of information. But we understand that the lion, the quality that he exhibits, This quality makes a lion a very majestic animal, and that majestic quality, that kingly quality among the beasts, that quality is what is a representation of Krishna. Of course, when we talk about the lion, then how can we think of the lion? We can think in many pastimes are there, but the most striking pastime is the appearance of Narasimha Dev. That Narasimha Dev, when Krishna appeared as Narasimha Dev, Krishna actually chose the head of a lion. So if you look at it technically, if you look at it from Hiranyakashipu's boon point of view, it is supposed to be, I cannot be killed by any man or any beast. So technically it should be half man, half beast. But Krishna chose the head of a lion simply because the lion is very ferocious. Lion is very ferocious and it strikes fear at its prey, and yet it is a protective father to the lion cub. Similarly, Narasimha Dev is also exhibits the same quality. Therefore, someone who is a non-devotee, he is very much terrified. Hiranyakashipu was very much terrified. He finally learned the meaning of fear when he first saw Narasimha Dev appearing from the pillar. But for the devotee Prahlad, he was very much terrified. He realized that here, Narasimha Dev is here, here is my protector. So this point that we can understand from the example of a lion. In this verse, we see that we are able to glorify two devotees, Garuda and Prahlad. And I shall go through them at this point. So here it is said that among the birds, I am Garuda. So Garuda is the carrier, the Vahana of Lord Vishnu. He was the son of Kashyapa and Vinata. And I shall just skip the story of how Garuda came about. But Garuda is a great devotee of the Lord. There are many pastimes how Garuda actually serves Lord Vishnu very, very nicely. If you look at the pages of Bhagavata, many, many instances you will see how Lord Vishnu appeared towards many of the devotees. When Lord Vishnu appeared in front of Gajendra, when Lord Vishnu appeared in front of Kadamba Muni, he appeared on the back of Garuda in a very majestic, very. If you read the explanation given, the description given in the Bhagavad, it sounds so majestic. It sounds so wonderful. How he appears, how he comes, glides down, and appears in front of the devotee. Garuda is also described that when Garuda flaps his wings, it vibrates, Sama Veda. This is mentioned in Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 21, somewhere in the center. So, Garuda is also the flat insignia of Krishna's chariot. So Krishna's chariot, own personal chariot, there is a flag on top, and the flag, the insignia is Garuda himself. So Garuda is there serving Krishna in many ways. I will just narrate the story of Bhaumasura or Narakasura just to glorify Garuda. So Narakasura was a very great demon, and he is very, very well known because he was the one who kidnapped the 16,000 princesses who later on become Krishna's wife. So Narakasura was a great demon. He has done many, apart from the kidnapping of the princess, what happened was he also went to the heavenly planets, and he conquered some Mount Meru and many other things, and he stole Varuna's throne, earring of Aditi, and so on and so forth. So what happened? Indra came down to Dwaraka and petitioned Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna, this Narakasura is doing so much nonsense, can you please help? So Lord Krishna said, okay, I will help. I will come and I will kill Narakasura. So Krishna flew to the capital city where Narakasura was staying, and he brought his queen Satyabhama along, and they mounted Garuda. And Garuda flew to this place very quickly, and this city is very well protected. It's protected on all four sides by a great fortress, on all four sides, with military palace protecting them. And there were many boundaries, circle boundaries that surround the capital. The outer layer was actually a layer of a division of soldiers. Then within it was a layer of water canal. Then there was electric fences. And then there was a layer of poisonous gas. And then the last layer was some barbed wire and concertina wire. So like this, it was very much well protected. Even by today's standard, if you Prabhupada was writing Krishna book, even by today's standard, it's a very well protected capital. So Krishna came, he flew in Garuda, and he saw this protected protection, and he took his Sudarshan Chakra, he took his arrow and his bow, and he just decimated the entire fortresses. All the fortresses, all the circle of protection that he had created, he destroyed all of them. And finally, when he went into the inner city itself, Mura demon came out from the waters surrounding the surrounding capital. And he is described as a demon with five heads, and he looked very radiant. And he came out with his trident. He saw Krishna flying on the mouth of Garuda with Satyabhama. He realized that, yes, this person has come to attack the city. So he came and he wanted to attack Krishna. Then he realized, okay, before attacking Krishna, I better destroy the mount. If I destroy the mount, Krishna will fall down and I can fight with him easier. So this is generally, if you look at Mahabharata war also, they will, usually the character will always be dying quite quickly. So this is what, Mura came and he wanted to throw the trident. But before he could attack and throw the trident, Krishna immediately took an arrow, expertly destroyed the trident. And then there was some fight, and finally Krishna killed him with the Sudarshan Chakra. And then Narakasura, Bhaumasura came with his thousands and thousands of soldiers, all elephant warriors, horse warriors and all that. Krishna came, he came with his bow and arrow, and he fought very expertly. Garuda was flying here and there, very expertly maneuvering through the battlefield so that Krishna can throw the arrows most effectively and most safely way. And Garuda wasn't just flying about, he was also attacking the soldiers with his beaks and talons. He just attacked and killed so many elephants and destroyed. He was also helping in the destruction of the soldiers. And finally, Krishna met up with Bhaumasura, and there was a great fight, and finally Bhaumasura was killed by the weapon of Sudarshan Chakra. So like this, Krishna was very ably served by this great devotee Garuda. And of course, the story then goes how Garuda then brought Krishna and Satyabhama back to Indraloka to return the various things that were stolen. And there the story then goes how Satyabhama wanted the Parijata flower. And then when Parijata flower was taken, or the plant was taken, Indra was not very happy and he attacked Krishna and Krishna. So Garuda was very expertly then, even then also, Garuda was very expertly charioting, bringing Krishna here and there during the fight, which, as usual, Krishna won. This is the exact word used in Krishna book. Very nice. As usual, Krishna won. So Krishna won, and then he brought the Parijata flower back to earth for Satyabhama. So in this way, Garuda very nicely served Krishna. And there are many other examples how even if you look at the pastimes of Kaliya, Garuda was very much involved in that story, in that pastime also. And one very interesting point to note that the tree at which Krishna actually climbed up to jump into the Yamuna was actually alive. But you realize that the Yamuna river was so much poison that all the living entities all around, surrounding the Yamuna was actually dead. So this Kadamba tree was actually alive. But then the background to the story is Garuda realized that at in some time in the future some pastime would happen. So he purposely put some nectar in this tree. So like this, even Garuda, without in his desire to serve Krishna, he did so many things for Krishna's pleasure. Then we come to the topic of time. Among the subduers, I am time. Now time we can understand time as one of the five main topics that is covered in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita covers five topics: Supreme God, Living Entity, Material Nature, Karma and Time. And time is described as the duration of the manifestation of the material nature. In Brahma Samhita, this verse is there. Yakshaksureta Savita Sakala Dahana Raja Samastura Murti Ratesha Teja Yasyangaya Brahmadi Samrata Kala Chakra Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bajami. That the sun, carries the Kala Chakra, and it is the sun that orbits around the universe on this wheel of time. So if you look at the Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 5, chapter 21, this movement of the sun is very nicely described. That this wheel, this Kala Chakra, is actually called Samvatsara, and the wheel, the 12 spokes of the wheel represent the 12 months, and the sections represent the sections of the wheel of the rim represent the 6 seasons. It is, and the sun god actually travels on the chariot, and the yoke is 900 yojanas long, pulled by Arunadev, the charioteer, and by 7 horses. And the speed at which this chariot is traveling, and the chariot travels about 760 billion miles per day, and therefore it travels about 16,000 miles per second. So that is the speed at which the sun's chariot travels around this universe. And this traveling actually is done so precisely because it is the sun god has taken up this service of keeping time for the universe. So this time, although time is a very, it's one of the main topics of Bhagavad Gita, direct mention of time is very limited in Bhagavad Gita. You don't see much verses that actually speak about time. And this verse happens to be one of those verses which directly speak about time. Oh, so what is this time? Time is actually is characterized by this character called cause and effect. And in Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 3, chapter 20 something, Krishna explains that the material nature has 24 elements. Material nature has 24 elements. But in an unmanifested state, these elements reside in an unmanifested state until Krishna impregnates these 24 elements with the 25th element called time. And once the time is injected, then the material element then gets agitated and creates this entire material world. So time, when it is mixed with the three modes of material nature, is then called Saguna Brahman. So how is time represented, manifested? And time is manifested to the living entity as death. When we see time, when the how we can relate to time is by the destructive power, the power of death. When conditioned souls and that actually strikes fear into conditioned soul. And this is the point that is being mentioned here, that actually among the subduers, among all those which can control and destroy things, I am the greatest, I am time. Why? Because time destroys everything. Material, anything material will come together, will stay together for some time, but ultimately will be destroyed. And it is, many examples are actually given in the Bhagavata. Material world is likened to bubbles being formed on the ocean. So they are formed, they will remain for some time, but ultimately they will disappear. In very few seconds they will disappear. So material nature or material world or material things are like that. They will come, they will remain for some time, but ultimately due to the effects of time, they will get destroyed. There is this allegorical story of Ram and Raja, two friends, Ram and Raja. So they were going on a boat and they were nicely, you know, traveling, and then they were talking all friendly talk and all that. Suddenly the boat capsized and they were stuck in the middle of this vast ocean, river kind of thing. And they had nothing to hold on and they were struggling in the river, trying to swim and stay afloat. And just then, there was a plank that came along. So both of them held on to the plank. They held on trying to keep afloat by holding on to the plank. But soon enough, they realized that the plank wasn't actually strong enough or big enough to sustain both of them. Then one of them had to let go. Then one can survive. No, both will be perished. So one of them actually had to let go so that one of them can survive. Material nature is like that. That we will come together, two friends may come together, we may interact with each other, but ultimately due to the influence of time, by the waves that is represented by the waves of the ocean, we will get separated. And in Bhagavata, Canto 10, chapter 5, text 25, Vasudeva tells Nanda Maharaj that many planks and sticks unable to stay together are carried away by the force of reverse waves, just like by the force of time. We will come together, living entities will come together. By the influence of time, we will come together, we will interact with each other. But by the influence of time, we will go away also. This time is also mentioned by Chanakya Pandit as something that cannot be bought. We cannot buy time. A second that is lost, we cannot buy back this second. So therefore, this quality of time as being the cause and effect quality, and this quality of time being the destroyer of everything material, is not very much, it cannot be appreciated by conditioned souls. The conditioned souls, they are so much engrossed in this material universe, they realize, they think that they are the doers. They think that I am creating all this, that I am doing all this. It is by my effort that I am doing. But they do not realize that whatever they have created is also by the mercy of the Lord, and whatever they have created will also be destroyed by the force of time. And an example is given that just like how clouds, although they seem stationary and they seem all full and complete, they are actually controlled, very much controlled by the wind that blows them from here to there. Similarly, we, although we think that we are controlling this, we are doing everything, but actually we are helplessly controlled by the force of material nature, which is moving under the influence of time. There are many other references about time in the Bhagavatam, but I shall just go forward to describe about this word, Prahalad. Now Prahalad, we know the story of Prahalad very well, how Prahalad was the son of Hiranyakashipu, who is a very great demon. And this Prahalad was a very small boy, 5-year-old boy, and he was very much fixed in the service of Krishna, very much fixed and very much focused in remembering Krishna. And he, by his constant and complete dependence on the Lord, finally the Lord came as Narasimhadev and destroyed Hiranyakashipu, and Prahlad was saved and protected by the grace of the Lord. And Prahlad gives a very nice example when he was preaching to his Gurukul boy, to his friend, Gurukul friend. And he was saying that actually we should be starting this process of devotional service right now. We should not wait for opportune time. We should not wait for some good situation to happen, some nice circumstance, favorable circumstance. No. He was saying that actually our lifetime, half the lifetime is actually wasted sleeping. Then about 10 years is wasted in childhood. Another 10 years, 20 years is wasted in old age. When we are old, that means very, we can't even speak properly, we can't even think properly. And like this, he was categorically explaining how during the entire lifetime that we have so much duties, prescribed duty, right, duties, familial duties, that actually there's no right time at any in our lifetime. There's no such thing as a right time. That the time is now. We should take it right now. This is the time that we should take up to this Krishna consciousness. So Prahlad, from the story of Prahlad, we can understand that among that the reversal, that the many problems and many things that was faced by Prahlad, if you read, he was actually tortured by none other than his own father. The father is someone who is supposed to protect the child, and the same father is the one who is actually trying to destroy Prahlad. And yet Prahlad was constantly depending on Krishna. He did not say, okay, I think it's enough. Maybe I shall just take a break now, let's just chant Hiranyaya Namaha. No, he did not. Prahlad was constantly, no. What is the best thing that I have learned? The best thing is remembering and speaking about Vishnu. That is what Prahlad said. He knew that the father was not very happy, would not be very happy when hearing this. But Prahlad then told the truth that actually, yes, whatever you are teaching, the political science, economic development, yes, they are all nice. But the most important, most sublime message is about the subject of Vishnu. And it's also interesting to note that among the daityas, I am Prahlad, Krishna says in this verse. And if you look at all the demons that are vying for this coveted award, we realize that Hiranyakashipu was actually very, very powerful. Prahlad, compared to Hiranyakashipu, from a material point of view, Prahlad, yes, there was some instance there where he fought with some Gandharvas or something like that. But if you look at Hiranyakashipu, he controlled the entire universe. All the 33 million demigods were under him. And he did the functions of all these millions of demigods. And not only were these demigods overthrown, they were actually his maidservants. They were actually his servants. And Hiranyakashipu will just raise his eyebrow and Indra will come running. Vayu was, Chandra was mopping the floor. Vayu was blow drying the floor. This was what Hiranyakashipu was doing. And Hiranyakashipu was so powerful that he wanted, yes, now I feel like I should be having summer. Sun, you better be there. Weather, you should all align properly. Tomorrow, although the seasons are such that, okay, tomorrow should be winter. No, I want summer. And Hiranyakashipu will dictate what season it should be according to his whims and fancies. That was how powerful Hiranyakashipu was. And when he raised his eyebrow, all the demigods would come. All the wives, all the ladies, denizens of heaven, will then suffer miscarriages. That was how powerful Hiranyakashipu was. So when you compare to Prahlad, he fought with some army of Gandharvas. If he was Hiranyakashipu, what would have happened? He would have just raised his eyebrow, just there. I think the Gandharvas would run away. So from a material point of view, Hiranyakashipu was very, 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 very powerful. And if you look at the other demons, Ravana, he was also very, very powerful. He was so powerful that when he was asking for a boon, he was saying, yes, I should not be killed by this, I should not be killed by animals, I should not be killed by demons and all that. He was thinking, man, nah, man too small. You know, just like if you say, oh, you will be killed by an ant. An ant? You take an ant and you just crush it. That's it. Similarly, Ravana was thinking, a man, I'll just take him, pia, 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 and I'll just throw him away. And somewhere along this process, he'll just give up his life. That was how powerful Ravana was. And yet, Ravana was killed. You know how Ravana was killed by Lord Ram. And similarly, how Hiranyakashipu was killed by Narasimhadeva. But in this verse, Prahlad is being mentioned that among the daityas, the best among the daityas is Prahlad. Why? And the answer is also given in the purport. The Prahlad was a devotee of Lord. Because of his devotional service and godly nature, he is considered to be representative of Krishna. This is the point that we should analyze. That, frankly speaking, that all our past, our caste, creed, lineage, our past activities, what we were, maybe we were one big don before, nothing actually doesn't really matter. All these things doesn't really matter in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord actually sees, he is a devotee. Yes, he is very serious in devotional service. Then he will be glorified. It doesn't matter, he's actually from the demon line, no? Better be careful, one eye. Good devotee, yes. But then he does not know. No. He is a devotee. Prahlad is known for his devotional service. Very nice choice prayers are there in the Bhagavatam, showing how Prahlad glorified Narasimhadeva at the end after Hiranyakashipu was killed. And you can see how much philosophy is there in those prayers. So this point that we must understand that we should not ever think that actually, you know, we are not qualified. No, actually, we are not there yet. I have got so much problems. I used to be like this. Actually, I'm just there are so many others who are better than me. I'm nothing. I should not take up. Maybe these are for those who are very serious. I'm not. No, Krishna consciousness is for everyone. And yet, Krishna does not actually care what you were before. Krishna actually wants to see how dedicated or how sincere you are currently in serving Krishna. This point is being exemplified in this verse. Finally, we have come to this. I would like to conclude by going back to the effect of time. That currently, if you look at this particular age, we realize that as the age has progressed from Sati Yuga to Treta Yuga to Dwapara Yuga and now even to Kali Yuga, and even in the past 100 years, we realize that actually the situation has become so much different. To the point where now we are calling this age or this time, this period is called the age of instant noodles. Everything is wanted instantly. Everything we want quickly. Meals are done very quickly. There's no, if you look at the Victorian times, you know, if you're interested, you'll find that meals are an elaborate matter. Lunches are 2-3 hours long. And after the lunch, there's a tea break at about 4-5 o'clock. Then there's dinner. You know, that is how Victorian times they were living. And same, actually, Victorian is just an example, but same. In every country, that was how it was being done. People would go to the work in the field, they would come back, and all the entire family would come and eat together. This is how it was. But currently, that is not such thing. Currently, we have all these devices called handphones, laptops. Oh, I'll give you a laptop, mobile device, what? Best state of the art laptop, you know. But what does that mean? That means you can bring work home and you'll be on call 24 hours a day. Handphone, what does that mean? Previously it was a landline. If you're sitting on your office desk, then they will call you. If not, what will happen? They can't call you, they can't reach you. Previously it was communication via snail mail. You write a letter in a piece of paper, post it, and then you send postage letter and you send. I have to describe all this because sometimes some people might not realize there were such things. currently what is happening, it is called email. You write, you send, in an instant the other person receives it. No matter which part of the country, which part of the world it is in. Previously the snail mail takes about a week to come, week to reset, and a week to come back. So it is expected 2 weeks to get a reply. Now it is within 2 hours. There was a colleague of mine, he was telling me how he was being scolded by his superior. Hey, how come you never reply to the mail? This was during lunch. So after lunch, he immediately ran to the office and locked down and checked. He realized that the mail was actually sent about 2-3 hours ago. And for not replying in that 2-3 hour gap, he got scolded. So this is the reality. In this current time, this is the reality. We are being constantly bombarded by so many requests, so many information, so many things that are distracting us. Even to the point that when we are sitting down, there's no such thing as sitting down and relaxing for a while, because we'll always be distracted. That is the quality of this age, this point in time. So at this point of instant noodles kind of age, Chandra Mahaprabhu was so merciful that he also gave something that is also instant remedy. That is the chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. That when Prabhupada once asked, this chanting of process and everything, so how long must I follow this and chant and all that so that I can become, you know, perfect and I become a devotee? Prabhupada then looked and said, 1 second. And it is true. If you look at the Bhagavatam, yes, Ajamil, he was such a nonsense. He was doing so many bad things. But at the time of death, he just uttered Narayan, and immediately Vishnu Sadas came and saved him. And many examples are there that just by uttering complete dependence, in complete sincerity, in complete dependence, you just chant the holy names of Krishna, many devotees have been saved. So this process is so easy that we just pick up the beat and we chant. We just chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And it is so simple. Previously in Sakya Yuga, you are supposed to meditate for 10,000, 100,000, 10,000, 20,000, Valmiki meditate for 60,000 years. Are we able to even sit for 60 minutes? Not so possible. In Treta Yuga, it was elaborate sacrifices that lasted for days. If you were to do some similar sacrifice in current situation, all our 40-day leave would be clear. Wiped out in one sacrifice. And in Dwapara Yuga, elaborate temple worship was done. We just had Ram Navami program, which was a 10-day program. And that was the kind of program that used to be held previously. And in fact, about 50-100 years ago, even in India, you'll find that Janmashtami program, Gaur Purnima program, were actually a whole day, whole week of them. There will be a pandal, a festival pandal, there will be songs, dramas depicting the Lord. Everything was there, and the whole village will come. They will come, they will participate in this festivity for a good period of time, for a few days. Everybody was sitting together, coming together, and remembering the Lord together. That was the kind of festivity that was being held so many ages ago. But at this age and point, are we able to do it? We can't. That is why this process of chanting Hare Krishna is so simple that we never realize that actually this process is so simple and it's actually docile for this age. Krishna realized that this age is going to be internal age. And that is why he gave this process, and we have to take it up. The other point is, we know that we will be distracted. We know that the situation is such that we do not know when our next problem will come. Destiny is so strong. There is this story about Garuda and this sparrow. This sparrow was in this particular planet, and Yamaraj just looked at the sparrow and was wondering. He just looked and just stared. And Garuda looked at this, Yamaraj looked at the sparrow, this doesn't look good. And Garuda said, okay, this disturber of mine, he is not going to be killed by this Yamaraj. Not just yet. When I am here, this sparrow will be saved. So he carried the sparrow and flew millions of miles away across the universe, and he went to one far corner of the universe, one far corner planet, and laid the sparrow there. And the moment the Garuda laid the sparrow there, the sparrow died. Garuda was infuriated. He then flew to the Yamaraj and he asked, Yamaraj, what happened? Why did you kill that sparrow? Didn't I travel all the way? Was it for vain? Then Yamaraj was saying, actually, I was actually very much amazed at the destiny. That this sparrow, when I was looking at this sparrow, I was realized that this sparrow is supposed to die in a few moments in this far away planet. How is it going to go there in such a short time? You know, sparrow, small animals, they can't even fly from one corner of the room within a few seconds. How is he going to fly to that planet? And then I saw Garuda, you appeared, and you carried, and you brought the sparrow there to fulfill that. So this force of destiny, this thing, we do not know. We do not know what will happen next. We do not know. The condition, what will happen next? There was this incident that happened in India. This man was just standing on the traffic light, about to cross the road. And just above him, this eagle was coming with a snake, a cobra on his beak. And he was flying. And just when he was flying, the cobra just slipped off the beak and he fell on the floor. So of course, the cobra slipped, the eagle immediately armed and he went down. But when the cobra then fell on the floor, on the ground, the cobra looked, this man was there, immediately bite the man. And just then the eagle came, took the cobra and went back again. So the cobra was only on the floor for 1-2 seconds only. And in that 1-2 seconds, this man got bitten and this man died. This is destiny. This is the force of this. We cannot escape all this. So the point is that we should be serious whenever services come or opportunities come to glorify Krishna. Services come for the service of Krishna. Opportunities come to do things, do labor, do activities, do anything for the service of, for the pleasure of Krishna. We should just grab it. We should grab it. We should not think, oh, maybe now it's a bit hot love. Maybe I should not. Maybe I'm feeling a little pain here. I should not do this. No. We should see if it is possible, if we can do that little sacrifice, then we should do it. Because we will never know. The influence of time, the influence of this age, the progression of this age of Kali is so strong that we do not know when our attitude or our thinking should be, we do not know when the next opportunity will come. And we do not know when, if that opportunity comes, whether we will be able to take it up. And therefore, any opportunity, any service that comes along, we should just grab it and we should do it properly with all our heart, thinking that this will then please my Lord of Lords, Lord Sri Krishna. And with this I end here. Actually not much time to take any questions. Maybe one small question or something. Yes, sir. Garuda is an eagle. Its food is snakes and all these animals. So when Garuda eats such animals, it's actually eating for its own sustenance. It's not eating out of. There's no karma or anything involved. Can you? Well, the regulating principle is for our benefit. It's to, for us to follow. We do not ask the tiger to follow. Take masala tiger. Take vegetable tiger.
Jai Gaura Prema Rakhi. Jai Shri Shiva Kumar Prabhu Ji Ki.
Jai.